Well, I guess they knew it was safe to give me the time with children on a Sunday when there were going to be no children. So I'm going to take the time with children to just give you a couple of more announcements that I forgot to give the first time. I need to remind you that today is our third Sunday lunch. We invite everyone to join us for lunch in Fellowship Hall immediately following the worship service. It's going to be a delicious meal. I know because I had a hand in helping with it yesterday. We got a great crew, a great meal lined up. We invite you to come and enjoy some good food and some good fellowship. It's $6 a person, is that right? And what's the maximum? 15 maximum. And if you're visiting with us, it's free. So, and we know who's been here before. No. I've just come on in, enjoy a good lunch, and some fellowship. Also, I want to remind you that this coming week, of course, everybody knows it's Thanksgiving week. And our church schedule has been altered. So a lot of the things that we do, especially on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, have been either changed or canceled. So please pay attention to your bulletins. Take a look at the church website. If you're not really sure about a program that you're coming to, give the church office a call on Monday or Tuesday, and we'll let you know. But then we'll get back on regular schedules next week. And also, next Sunday, if you are in town, invite your neighbors, invite your friends, your family, your co-workers to come worship with us next Sunday. We have a special treat. The whole service is going to be a Thanksgiving bluegrass worship service. And we've got a fantastic family bluegrass band that's going to be leading us in that, the Bancasters. So please join us in this special occasion. And now, as we prepare to hear the word read, proclaimed, let us take a moment in silence and silence our minds and open our hearts in preparation to listen for God's voice, to experience God's presence with us. The time will begin and end with a bell tone. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 25th chapter of Matthew, verses 14 through 30. Let us listen for God's voice. For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. And then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one with the two talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me two talents. See, I have made two more talents. And his master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the one talent also came forward, saying, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master replied, You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, and for the word within us. So the parable of the talents. This is one of those parables that we've all heard so many times that we've just got this preconceived notion about what this parable is all about. Now, most of us think this is a stewardship parable. And on many levels it is. And it just so happens that it usually comes around in the lectionary toward the end of most churches' stewardship season. So this is probably when you hear about this parable most often. And it is about investing and getting a return on investment. But there are different levels of even stewardship in this parable. When we approach it from a stewardship perspective, it's not just about money. It's about abilities. Did you catch right at the beginning of the parable where it says the master gave to each according to their ability? This is about using our talents. It's about using the abilities that each and every one of us have. It's also about ideas, because for many of us, that is our talent. And all of us function from thinking. It's about acting on our ideas and on our thoughts. It's also about stewardship of values, of acting on the values that we hold dear. So there are many levels in this parable that we could approach the concept of stewardship. Now this parable has a meaning that we gather from it, from its placement in the Gospel of Matthew. The whole 25th chapter of Matthew is a series of three parables, three very familiar parables. We dealt with one of those parables last week, the parable of the sheep and the goats. That's the last parable in the 25th chapter. The first parable in the 25th chapter is the parable of the bridesmaids. going to the wedding. There are 10 bridesmaids, and 5 of them had oil for the lamp, and 5 didn't. And then right in the middle, we have the parable of the talents. And if you look at these three parables together, they're all about opportunity. Somewhere in each one of these parables, Jesus addresses this idea of opportunity. In the first parable of the bridesmaids, there's opportunity for the bridesmaids to participate in this wedding. And it's all about being prepared. The parable even says the ones who are prepared are the wise ones, and the ones who are unprepared are unwise. But it's being prepared when opportunity presents itself. And the sheep and the goats, the last parable, is a parable about awareness. It's also about opportunity, but it's about being aware of the opportunities we have to serve. If you'll remember from last week, the key question in that parable was, when did we see you, Lord? And it's being aware of God's presence in our life. It's being aware of the opportunities to serve and to experience the presence of Christ in our own lives and in the lives of those around us. And then right in the middle of these two, we have today's parable. And I would suggest to us that this parable is also about opportunity. It's about the opportunity to take what we have been given and use what we have been given in all those different areas I mentioned before, in order to experience God's presence in our lives and to serve one another. But there's one thing in this parable that's different from the other two. And it's the response of the servant who was given one talent. Do you recall what that servant's response was? He said, "Master, I knew you were a hard manager. And I knew that you would expect more than I could give, and so I hid my talent. And why did I hide my talent? Because I was afraid." You know, fear is one of those things that has gone rampant in the world. It's always been with us. Fear is always with us on an individual basis. It's with us in communities. I got a little quote here from one of my favorite theologians, Yoda from Star Wars. You do realize that Star Wars is a myth of the hero's journey. Star Wars is based on ancient mythology. And it's some of the same mythology that we find in our own Christian tradition. It's not just a science fiction thing. George Lucas actually conferred with the famous anthropologist and guru of mythology, Joseph Campbell. They were very good friends. And he consulted with Joseph Campbell when he was writing the Star Wars story. And Yoda plays a central part in this story because Yoda is the one who's always coming out with the wisdom and guiding the others. You'll probably recognize this quote. At one point, Yoda says to the young Luke Skywalker, "Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering. And suffering is the dark side." But if we take that little saying of Yoda and look at it from suffering and go back, when we see suffering in the world, there's hate in there somewhere. When we see hate in the world, there is anger in there somewhere. When we see any of these in the world, you can guarantee that at the very core of it is fear. Fear drives all of these. As a matter of fact, when I started playing around with this whole idea of fear a number of years ago, I made a leap and went back to the creation stories in our scriptures. And reading back through the creation stories, especially the second creation story that comes in Genesis 2, that how central fear is in what we have come to know as the fall of humankind. But again, this is a mythological tale about fear and its role in humanity. After Adam and Eve eat the fruit and God walks through the garden, God says, "Where are you?" And they are hiding because they are afraid. We could even surmise that at the very core of what we like to call original sin is fear. And now let's jump back, go forward. And have you ever noticed that just about every place in Scripture where the presence of God is made known to a person, the messenger of God, what's the first thing they say? Do not be afraid. You might even go so far to say, that's the gospel message right there. Do not be afraid. When the angels are singing in the sky to the shepherds, one comes forward and says, "Fear not, for I bring you good tidings." Do not be afraid. Look around the world today. Look around our personal lives. Look around our communities. Look around our churches. Look around our nation. and look at how much of what's going on in the world today has been driven by fear. And much of it very intentionally calculated. Because fear also opens up the opportunity for power and control. And we as Christians, as proclaiming and living the gospel, have at the very core of our gospel, our good news, fear not. You know, I read a story last week that just broke my heart. An eighth grade class somewhere in Ohio canceled their annual trip to Washington, D.C. because they were afraid of terrorism. The eighth grade in this school system had been going to Washington, D.C. for years. These kids looked forward to it. It was part of their eighth grade civics class. And they canceled it. Now, Peg and I used to live on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. And I want to tell you, just about every day of the year, you could walk around the Capitol building, you could walk on the National Mall, you could walk around our neighborhood, and there would be a group of kids in the same color t-shirt on an educational trip to our nation's capital. And in certain times of year, you couldn't walk around that Capitol building without, there would be hundreds of groups of colored t-shirts. And in that neighborhood, in that part of Washington, D.C., you're under the jurisdiction of no less than 9 law enforcement agencies. Now, if there's a safe place in this country, it's that neighborhood. But because of fear, these kids didn't go. Now, that's just one story. That's just one story. Fear is driving too much of what we do and why we do it in the world today. And we as Christians are called, we are called to fear not. So what are we afraid of? I mean, that's the big question right there. What are we afraid of? Are you afraid of dying? Well, I got some news for you. None of us are getting out of here alive. Overcoming the fear of death is the first step in really living, which is another core gospel message. I'm going to sing a little song unaccompanied so you can't tell when I get off key. Some say love, it is a river that drowns the tender reed. Some say love, it is a razor that leaves your soul to bleed. Some say love, it is a hunger, an endless aching need. And I say love, it is a flower, and you, it's only seed. And here's the part to really listen to. It's the heart afraid of breaking that never learns to dance. It's the dream afraid of waking that never takes the chance. It's the one who won't be taken, who cannot seem to give. And the soul afraid of dying that never learns to live. And when the night has been too lonely and the road has been too long, and you think that love is only for the lucky and the strong, just remember in the winter, far beneath the bitter snows, lies the seed that with the sun's love in the spring becomes the rose. Now, my friends, when we're afraid of dying, we don't have the energy to live. And at the core of overcoming fear is love. And I think that's what this parable of the talents is more about than it is about stewardship of money and talent. It's about all those things, but it's really about our lives and how we're living our lives. Are we living our lives in fear? Or are we engaging the seeds of opportunity that come our way and living lives of love? Amen. My friends, on this Sunday before Thanksgiving, we have much to be thankful for. And one thing is this wonderful community of faith in which we live. We have two members of our community who are leaving us today that I want to recognize. The first is Yvonne Bonnie Davis. Bonnie is going to live in Birmingham to be near her family. Bonnie, we're going to miss you. We thank you for your many years of dedicated and faithful service in this community. The other's not going so far away, but she is having a major change in life, and we won't see much of her because of this, and that's Morella Castles. Morella is moving into a new place this week, and she won't be among us as regularly She told me this morning, she says, "This is my last Sunday, Andy." I said, "No, that's not going to be your last one. It's not going to be Bonnie's either. We're going to see him again. But we want to just take this opportunity, Morella, to, as with Bonnie, thank you for your many years of faithful and dedicated service in this congregation. Thank you, Morella." Next week will be Christ the King Sunday, which is the end of the liturgical year. And then we'll be into Advent. Isn't it appropriate that we end the year celebrating in thanksgiving and gratitude? To be reminded as we enter a new year of Advent that we already have everything that we need. We already have the breath of life. We already have everything we need in God's good creation. And we are called to overcome our fear of not having it. So let us go from this place and do not be afraid to live in this good creation that's filled with God's love and God's grace, even in the darkest places. God is always with us. Amen.